Well, let's take a minute and let's bow our heads once again now that we're going to get into God's Word. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. And I thank you so much for the love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for giving us eternal life through faith in him. And God, we are humbled by you and in awe of your kindness towards us. Lord, all of us are sinners. All of us, we fall short. And we are in desperate need of you. And because of that, we come. We come to receive from you, God. And God, I pray that your Spirit would have free reign in our hearts. We ask, God, that you would revive us, that you would build us up in the faith, use us for your glory. And God, continue to change us to be like you. God, I thank you for this time that we can dedicate in the study of your word. And I pray that we would, by faith, receive what you have for us today. We pray, Holy Spirit, that there would be many things that would just would reach our hearts in such a personal and profound way that we would all, even though we're so different, that we who are praying and seeking you, God, to answer prayers and requests very specific to what we're going through, that we would all receive from you, God. We look to you, our Father, and we ask that you would have your way and answer our prayers and minister to our hearts by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, today being Mother's Day, I thought we would consider a message that I want to share with you that I've entitled, Do Whatever He Tells You. Now, these words were given by a mom. They're not original with me. And it wasn't just any mom. It was the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus who said, do whatever he tells you. You ever wonder how much of the scriptures record the utterances of Mary, the mother of Jesus? Well, there was a person by the name of Danielle Peters, and she says, and I quote, there are altogether four different occasions when Mary's words are recorded in the Bible. And she says, in her dialogue with the angel, Mary spoke twice in reply to the angel's message announcing to her that she was going to be the mother of the Savior. And she said this, and I don't know what translation I'm reading from, so if you don't see this in your Bible, actually, I'm not even going to give you all of the just don't turn there, just listen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 34, she says, how will this be since I am a virgin? How in the world can I have a baby? I mean, humanly speaking, it's impossible. And that's it. It was a divine thing. But anyway, she says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Then having received insight into God's plan, Mary gave her consent. And notice what she says. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And we start to see how this young virgin, who would be the mom, the mother of our Lord and Savior, just to see where she was spiritually. And she was a young woman who loved God. It's evident. Another occasion, after being greeted by her cousin Elizabeth, Mary sang her song of praise, in which she recounts God's intervention in her own life, as well as the fulfillment of God's promises made to Abraham. And she says this in Luke's Gospel 1, verses 46 through 55. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends, notice, to those who fear him. And I emphasize that because she doesn't say to the wealthy. She doesn't say to the famous. She says that to anyone who fears him, he shows himself merciful. Isn't that wonderful? She says, from generation to generation, that is, God extends his mercy to those who fear him. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. You know, we know that the scriptures tell us that God rejects the prideful, but he receives the humble. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. I'm just astounded by that godly prayer. Well, the next time Mary's words are recorded in the Bible was when the boy Jesus, at the age of 12, remained and was found in the temple, and his mother's words expressed distress and grief. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 48, she said, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" Remember, he stayed behind at the temple talking to the religious leaders. And Mary and Joseph thought that Jesus was within the caravan of people traveling back home, but he wasn't. And for some time, days, they were looking for him. And so just like any mother who cannot find her son, we had that happen to us for 30 minutes at Seabreeze when Jesse was a little kid, our oldest. And boy, if how many of you have ever thought you lost a child, or you went through those moments? Oh, it's terrifying. At first you think, oh, it's nothing, you know, they're just right around here. But then after 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, some of you maybe have experienced it for longer. Well, Mary had experienced it for some time, quite some time. So she says, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." And then the final time we come across Mary's words in the Bible is depicted in the fourth gospel, John's narrative. And John narrates Mary's involvement in Jesus's first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And here we hear Mary speak twice, and she turns to her son and she says, "They have no wine." We're going to get into it in a minute. And if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn to John's Gospel, chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 2. But she says, "They have no wine." And then, trusting that Jesus would prevent the embarrassment of those newlywed from happening, she told the servants. And this is where we get our title for this morning's message: "Do whatever he tells you." Do whatever he tells you. These were Mary's very last words, last recorded words. And Mary, she says, "Do whatever he tells you," pointing the servants to her son, Jesus. Now, we could take comfort and be encouraged by her instruction, because these words, they were spoken, notice, as the solution of faith to a serious problem. And I have come to learn, and many of us have, and if you are having any serious problems or any problems, Jesus is always the solution. Jesus can bring peace in storms. Jesus can provide when we have nothing. Jesus can revive the spirit and bring life to dead situations. And more than anything, because we know that this life is temporary, Jesus gives eternal life to all those that fear him and trust him. I mean, walking with Jesus is a win-win. You can never lose serving our Savior who has no problems, but all the solutions. And so we could take comfort that she points servants to her son. What a great, great final thing to have said. Well, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. If you don't have that, you could follow along on the screens. And this is the first miracle that Jesus did at the wedding at Cana. It tells us in verse 1, the next day there was a wedding. It was a celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother, Mary, she was there. And Jesus was there, and his disciples, because Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. Now, here's the problem. The wine supply ran out during the festival. And so Jesus's mother, she comes to Jesus and she tells them they have no more wine. Now, this would have been a major social embarrassment for the host at that time, and weddings at that time lasted for several days. And so for them to run out of food or to run out of wine would have been a major embarrassment. And somehow Mary, she found out about this problem. Now perhaps, and there are many who believe that Mary, she played an important role in the whole celebration of this wedding and all of the festivities. And then due to her role, the servants at some point came and told her, notified her, "Hey, Mary, we got a problem here." And the fact that Mary, in verse 5 of this chapter, she directs the servants, she gives them some direction, further substantiates her role in making sure that the wedding festivities went smoothly. And things were going smoothly until the wine ran out. And so Mary, no doubt feeling the pressure, and also feeling for the couple getting married, she went to her son with the problem. And she sets that example for us. Whatever problem we have, we should always go to Jesus with it. Maybe you have a problem right now that you're going through. And again, I just want to encourage you. As the scripture says, give your burdens to the Lord. Give those pressures to the Lord, and he will take care of you. I love this. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 55, 22. Now, Eugene Peterson, he says this, and I love how his paraphrase, how he words this verse in Psalm 71. Actually, verses 1 and 2, he says, and I quote, "I run for dear life to God, and I never regret it." And then he says, "Do what you do so well. Get me out of this mess and up on my feet." And God, think of how many messes we've gotten ourselves into. And when we run to him by faith, and we humble ourselves, hasn't God always been faithful to take us from a pit and bring us to a wealthy place?
Yes.
I cannot think of one time in my history, and let me tell you, I have struggled with many things, and I still do. I am not perfect. Do you know anybody who is? Yeah.
Just Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So we can all admit that we have our struggles. And God is always faithful when we cry out to Him by faith. He's always faithful. He may discipline us in the process. He may correct us, convict us, challenge us. But He's always faithful to deliver us. And so whatever problem you might have today, whatever burden you might have today, run to Jesus. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. But you can't run to Him and surrender half of it. You have to surrender completely.
Amen.
Now, it's interesting, going back to our text, how Jesus responds to his mom. He says, "Dear woman, that's not our problem." He says, "My time has not yet come." So Mary is dealing with a problem, feeling the pressure of there being a lack, etc. She comes to her son. And to our surprise, he says, "That's not our problem." Now, why he replied this way is really not clearly stated. And so we're left to wonder. Now, John, he does give us a little insight by telling us what Jesus says, or by tying what he says to his mom to what he says right after. He says, "My time has not yet come." And perhaps Mary, she, knowing that her son Jesus is the Messiah, and she had an experience with the angel, she gave birth to the Messiah, and it was a divine thing that took place, a virgin giving birth, fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And she brought up a perfect son. And she pondered, she kept the things that she experienced with her son Jesus in her heart. But imagine, for all those years, 30 years, nothing really was happening. Now, at this point, Jesus was baptized. And he's gathering just some disciples. And now they're at this wedding. And maybe based on Jesus' reply to her, my time has not yet come. Maybe he was letting her know, and all good mothers, they want to see their kids excel, right? And do good. And maybe there was in her a sense of, hey, this is an opportunity for you to reveal who you really are. And you can conclude, or at least have good evidence to lean that way based on his reply to her, "Look, my time to reveal who I am is not yet." And mom, just letting you know, I'm not working on your timetable, mom. I'm here to do the Father's will. And I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you, but let's get this straight. I'm not working on your timetable. So, and Jesus didn't reveal himself publicly. This wasn't like one of the other miracles, like the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, this was only something that just a few understood. What happened? Remember, she said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you, that do." And so it was just a few who understood what was happening. And this is where that wonderful, timeless advice from a mom comes in that story, which we're not really getting too much into that story. We're going to be taking a whole different turn in just a few minutes. But in verse 5, his mother, she told the servants, after Jesus responds to her, I could see that she had faith and she understood what Jesus was saying, but she still understood that Jesus was going to help in some way. And so she tells the servants, do whatever he tells you. So standing by, nearby, were six stone water jars used for water ceremonial washing. Each, verse 6, could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus, then he tells the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. And so the servants, they followed his instructions. Now the servants here, they had no idea what Jesus was doing. They at this point were just following Mary's orders. Whatever he says to you, do. Then Jesus directs them. He directs them to fill the water jars and then and take the water, after taking some, taking the water and bring it to the master of ceremony. Now, to follow Jesus' orders, that took some faith. That took faith for the servants, especially when taking the water that they dipped out to the master of ceremonies. Right. And we're left to wonder, when did the miracle take place? When they dipped and some of the water came out, when they dipped and took some of the water out of the jars, is that when the miracle took place? Or when they were walking to the MC? Or even more tough, if they knew it was water and they're seeing the water and they're giving it to him, you know? At what point? Well, we really don't know. But, verse 9, the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from. Though, listen, of course the servants knew. He called the bridegroom. He says, a host always serves the best wine first. Then, when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best wine until now. Now, as I said earlier, this was not a miracle that was made public. The master of ceremonies had no idea that Jesus was behind this. The bridegroom didn't know. The people that were there, they didn't know. Of course, Mary, she knew, but the servants, they knew. You know, those who did exactly what Mary said to do. Remember, she said, do whatever he tells you. And you know, I've learned, and I know that many of you have learned, and I hope that all of us learn, that the greatest revelations of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do comes to those servants who do whatever he says to do. This is the greatest advice ever given by any mom. And those who serve and do things according to what Jesus says experience greater understanding of who Jesus is. And not only does it end there, when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, we also experience God working in ways that unless we surrender to the Lord, we would never experience. Unless we step out by faith, just obeying his word, we would never experience what God can do. Now, some of us have experienced amazing things of what God can do, and wonderful revelations of the mercy and the grace and the kindness of God, simply because we as servants, sometimes in fear and trembling, move forward in obedience, just trusting His word. And there's no greater life than that. There's no greater life than following the Lord Jesus and trusting His word. Now, let's change gears here. You know, more than anything in this life, I want a greater revelation of who Jesus is. I want to experience more in the years to come of what Jesus can do than what I've experienced in the times past. I don't want to look back and say, oh, I remember when God did this. Oh, I remember. Only when I'm needing encouragement. It's good when you need encouragement to look back and to remind yourself of all the good things that God has done. But I want to continue to experience the revelations of God and all the power, all the things that God has intended for me to experience in this life. I want to continue to walk and experience those things, and I understand that that only comes when we do whatever He tells us to do. But there's a problem. If I'm honest, I don't do that faithfully 100%, 100% of the time. And I pray, God, change me. God, change me. And I believe there's many of you that feel the same way. You want to experience more of the Lord. You want to experience more understanding of His character, His beauty. You want to experience greater understanding of His mercy and of His kindness and in His salvation or deliverance power. How He can deliver you and how He can use you as a vessel to be there to help others experience God's salvation and delivering power. And so we pray, God, help me. I wish I could say like Jesus said, I always do those things that please the Father, but I can't. I relate more to the man that says, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. I believe, God, but help me in my struggles. And there's been a thirst that's been rising up in me more and more recently, a desire for more of Jesus in my life. And sometimes you don't realize, you think you're doing well and you're on the right track, and you don't realize it until God does something and starts to reveal, oh, there's so much more. There's so much more. But there's some things that if you want to experience, you have to change. You have to do whatever I tell you to do. And in some areas, either you aren't or you're not even aware, I have more, but now it's going to require you to be more intentional. And I love when the Lord does this in my life. And I believe that there are many of you here that want more. You're hungry, you're thirsty for more of God. And so I want to help you. And one of the ways that I want to help you is by stirring up your spirits through what Mary said and through the scriptures that I'm going to share with you. And I believe one of the ways that the Lord helps us in our struggles of faith is to bring strong conviction within our beings. There's a stirring that takes place within our soul. And some of us, we're crying out, God, change me, work within me. Use me. I don't want my life to just get by. I want more. I want to be a better, more godly husband, a better, more godly father, a better, more godly grandfather. I want to be a better, more godly servant in your house. I want to be more faithful to you in my thoughts, more faithful to you in my affections. I want this body to be used only for your glory and for no other reason. And I'm afraid some of us have compromised in different areas. And I believe we've been praying, God help, and God brings conviction. And he's using this service today to bring conviction within our hearts, answering prayers. Because God loves us. And he knows what's best for us. And so he stirs us up, and I pray that God would stir us up. He's been stirring me up, and I want to share with you in hopes to stir your faith up different scriptures that we can start working on in the sense of we can do. Whatever he tells us, we could do these things. For example, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 7. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the details of these chapters. I just want to focus on the words of Christ, and then we'll move forward. But Jesus, listen to this. This was a different time, and it tells us in verse 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus publicly stands out and he cries out, and he cries out to anyone. He says, if anyone thirsts, if anyone thirsts, and these are active words. And what I mean by that, this wasn't just for those in that day. These are active words, timeless words, and they are words that we can take personally. And I pray to God that you do. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Amen. I want that. I want that more in my life. And what he's talking about, because it tells us in the next verse, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the profound impact that the Holy Spirit can have within the heart and the life of those who are thirsty for him. Amen. Thirsty for Jesus. And I don't mean it in a way that this world understands that now. Please, perish those thoughts out of your mind and think holy. Jesus, he says to you and to me, if anyone thirsts, come to me. Now, this is something that I desire, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there are many of you who desire a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and the power that comes from walking in obedience to his will. You desire this more and more of your life. And Jesus, we remember, he gives direction. And Mary said, do whatever he says to you. And so understanding that Jesus gives direction through his word, I just want to share with you five things that I've started to do more intentionally from the word of God that I believe puts believers in the place to experience more of what Jesus can do and more of who Jesus is. And what's been stirring this up lately in my spirit and in my life is been reading different books and articles about what God has done in the past. And there's one person specifically who, what I'm about to share with you, he said, his name is Evan Roberts. He's with the Lord now, but he was used in years past as the start of the revivals that took place in Welch many, many years ago. And so I'm going to share four of the things that really has stirred my heart, and I'm going to add one of my own. And I'm putting these into my own words. So if you want to experience that wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God working within your heart and within your life, I want to take what Jesus says throughout all of the different verses that I share, mainly through the New Testament. It's not him specifically, but we know that the Word of God, really Jesus is the Word. The Scriptures tell us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
And so I take these things as Jesus speaking directly to me, and I pray that you do too. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. Listen to what he says here. If you want renewal, Christian, these things are so important. And if you're not a Christian, the same things apply. Remember, Jesus said, if anyone, God doesn't exclude you. You might be sitting here thinking, I don't know, God, you know, Pastor, you have no idea of the things that I've done. Well, you're right, I don't. But I know the Savior who loves you, who says, come to me, anyone. God is merciful and he forgives. He is our Savior. Jesus himself, he said that his blood was given as for forgiveness of sins. He died on the cross and shed his blood so that our sins can be forgiven. So there's no reason why you cannot receive the love of Christ. And you start by here. He says, whoever confesses his sins, this is verse 13, Proverbs 28, verse 13. Covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So we have a choice. We can cover or we can confess and forsake. And so you could put here, if you're a note taker, confess and forsake all known sin. You could start taking an inventory. And you know, all of us, you know what we do in secret. You know what we do in private. You know, and God knows, there's nothing hidden. The only issue is if we try to cover, then we don't experience the mercy of God. But there's God, he is amazing. There's no sin he won't forgive if you confess and forsake them. And so you can start doing an inventory. There's so many different things. Sometimes we think, adultery, that's the big sin. You know, murder. Now, what about lying to your spouse? Maybe you've gotten into a habit, Christian, of lying to your spouse. You hide things from your spouse. That's sin. And some of us, we've allowed certain things in our lives, we've compromised, and we're not going to experience the blessings of God, the revelations of God. We won't experience God using us in greater ways because maybe, as I said, you lie to your spouse. Or you're stealing. You're stealing from work. But you think that that's okay. Or you have these little sinful things that you do that no one else knows. Well, let me tell you, God knows. And they will hinder you from progressing. They will hinder you from progressing. We are to love one another. Maybe you've developed an attitude towards one of your brothers or sisters in Christ. And that grieves the Spirit of God. And you really have no justifiable reason. It's all stuff that maybe Satan has gotten into your head. And you the way you view things is just all by feelings. And you've been listening to the adversary. But it's not true. And yet you've been acting out and treating the person or thinking of this person in that way. And there's no reason for that. Maybe there's jealousy. Maybe there's competition. These are the kinds of things that hinder us from experience the filling of the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's not writing to unbelievers. Paul's writing to believers. And listen to what he says here. In verse 17, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles," which is another word for unbelievers. Now, these Ephesians were Gentiles, and Gentiles, what that means is really literally those who are not Jew. There's only two groups from the Jewish perspective. You're either Jewish, or you're a Gentile. And Paul is telling these Gentiles that came to know Christ through his ministry, he says, don't walk, no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles or the unbelievers. He says, in the futility of their minds or the emptiness or the fact that they don't have the knowledge of Christ, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Now, it tells us that their hearts have become blind or dull to spiritual things. They become ignorant to spiritual things because there was a time in verse 19 who, being past feelings, there was a time where they were perhaps most likely sensitive to God, but instead of continuing to seek God, that sensitivity they allowed by, as the scripture tells us in the book of Romans, they resist what's the word that I'm looking for? I know some of you know. The righteousness of God, they wouldn't, how many of you remember? They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Remember that Paul said that in Romans, suppress the truth. Thank you. And so that's what happens. At one time, they were sensitive, but they suppress the truth. And Christians, that can happen to us. We can become dull as well by suppressing the truth and compromising within our spirits and in our hearts. And remember what Jesus' mother said, do whatever he tells you. Amen. Whatever he tells you, that do. We're not to listen to ourselves, our sinful nature. He says, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work on uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, that is the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He says, therefore, notice, putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let things fester in your heart. Confess them to the Lord and say, oh God, forgive me. I let that get me angry, and I really don't have reason for that. And if there's a justifiable reason, you still pray, God, help me with this wrath, this heart of wrath that I have against this person, and help me to talk to the person if it's necessary. But a lot of times we get stuff in our own heads, don't we?
Yeah.
And it's really not them. It's more us than it is anything. And God's trying to work in us. And he says, hey, don't let that stuff fester. Deal with your own heart and your own issues. Then he says, nor give place to the devil. He's telling Christians, don't let the devil in. Don't let him have a foothold. Because he will deceive you. He can't possess you, but he certainly can get you off track. And he would love nothing more than you to be a church-going, Bible-reading, scripture-quoting Christian, serving, and yet have all this garbage inside of you. He says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he might have something to give to those who has need. Listen to this. Some of you are going to be shocked. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You mean God doesn't want me to swear? He says, let no corrupt, no bad word, Christian, come out of your mouth. Yeah, but I was angry. No, but you're the child of God now. Don't walk that way no more. Confess and forsake it. But he says, if there's going to be anything that comes out of your mouth, let it be good for necessary edification or for building other people up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You know, some of us would do better just being quiet. And verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By these actions as Christians. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he adds, notice, let all bitterness, Christian. Again, wrath, Christian. Anger, Christian. Clamor, that's getting into arguments, loud arguments, maybe with your spouse, or debating with somebody at work over politics, and you get all angry and loud. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, the desire to injure or hurt someone. You may not act out on it, but you, if you could get away with it, you would. And then look at what he says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, we can go on and on, but I want to move forward. So number one, confess and forsake all sin. Number two, get rid of doubtful habits. You know, if you are going to do something or watch a show, or you're going to maybe go someplace, or and you're like, I'm not sure if this is right. If you get that inside of you, that check in your spirit, don't go against that. Don't violate that, because that's what grieves the Spirit of God. And it causes a person to become dull. Look at what Paul says. This is Romans chapter 14, verse 23. He says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And this is what I'm getting at. For whatever is not done from faith, what's the opposite of faith?
Doubt.
Whatever is not from faith is sin. And all of us are so different. And some of us may have certain things in our spirits that God will say, I don't want you doing that. And you sense that, but the sinful nature, you want to do it anyway. And that will hinder you from experiencing the ministry of the Spirit of God working effectively in your life, changing you and causing you to be a blessing to others. The third thing is walk in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Look at what John says in John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said this, John quoting Jesus, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Paul to the Galatians, he said, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, walk in the guidance and in the influence of God's Spirit. Now, these are all things that I implore you, take them, pray, and really examine yourself and start on a regular basis. When you get a thought in your mind, maybe you're walking in Walmart and there's a woman that walks by and you get a thought in your mind and you just tend to linger on that thought, rebuke that thought in your mind, say, oh, God, forgive me, cleanse me. I don't want to think that way. Or maybe there's a man at work that says, oh, you look very beautiful today, honey. And you're like, well, I haven't heard that from my husband since 1982. And you start fantasizing what it would be like. Instantly put those kinds of thoughts to death. When the Holy Spirit leads you in some way, just right there, be committed to following the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now we're so blessed because we have the Scriptures. And it's so important to renew your mind. This is the fourth thing. Renew your mind with God's Word daily. It's so important. I hate to say this, and I'm not going to say that it is true in the sense of, yes, you know, I'm not saying this is Bible. But if we're not in the Word of God every day, I almost wonder, is that sin? Amen. Remember what Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. And the Word of God is what works so strong in bringing conviction upon our souls and our minds and our spirits and helping us to manage these vessels that Jesus has given us, these bodies. They're His temples. And it's so important to be in the Word of God every day, just feeding our minds, renewing our minds with His Word. So often I'm reading the Scriptures and it's like, that's me, God, forgive me. That's me, God, I'm sorry. That's me, change me, God, I'm sorry. I need that. Some of us, we can go so long without reading the Word. When you hear it, you almost want to go to sleep. You start hearing the Bible, it's like,
I can't sleep, but I enjoy it.
I don't even know what to say. But as soon as you hear God's Word, your spirits are so dull, it's like you need something exciting, something stimulating, some story. But if you get into the Word of God on a regular basis, you'll see that you just, man, you have such a love and longing for the Scriptures. And such a desire to want to be holy and want to put the Scriptures into action in your life. And then the last thing, confess Jesus personally and publicly. You know, some of us, we've gotten in the habit of, we don't want to admit that we're Christians. We don't want nobody to think that we're Christians. We're afraid of what the world will do. That's not right, saints. We can't be afraid of what the world will do. Hey, if the world hates us, no, you're doing something right. If the world hates you, you're doing something right. The world shouldn't love you. And so don't be afraid. Now, I'm not saying go out there and be obnoxious, be rude, be mean-spirited. No, not at all. But when you have the opportunity to identify with Christ, personally, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, publicly, you do it. Don't stay quiet. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. In closing, it's so important to do everything Jesus says to do. There's so many things, but this is a wonderful place to start. They're not in order. It's just keeping a regular account with God and continually confessing and forsaking all known sin, getting rid of doubtful habits in our lives, walking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and quickly responding when the Spirit even says, hey, wake up. I want you to wake up. I want you to go downstairs and pray. I want you to read my word. You used to do that, but you don't do it no more. You have so many reasons why you don't do it. But get up. Don't suppress that. Do it. The fourth thing, it's so important to renew your mind daily. In 2 or 3 days from now, some of you might feel like, yes, 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 I'm going to start doing this. In 2 or 3 days from now, though, you're going to be, oh, I don't know, I don't got the time today. Fight those battles and cry out to God, God, help me, and get into His Word. And then lastly, when those opportunities come, for you to say, I am a follower of Christ. I don't know how it might happen, but confess Him before men. Confess Him before men. And be the salt and light that you and I, let's be the salt and light that we were called to be. Now, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward, and they're going to sing a blessing over you. And as they're singing this blessing over you, I just want you to remember on this day the greatest words that were ever spoken by a mom were, whatever He tells you to do, do it. And today, we read where Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, come to me. If you're thirsty for God, you come to Him right now. You just raise your hands to Him, or however the Spirit of God leads you, but you just cry out to Him from your heart in these closing moments. I'm going to ask you to stand, and the song's going to go forth, and you just cry out to Him. You just cry out to Him. And you ask Him, God, fill me. God, I'm hungry for You. And I want to be salt and light. Matter of fact, I'm going to do that right there. And I'm going to invite anybody who wants to join me to come join me.